You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
Welcome to the Two Old Dolphins Podcast, a proud member of the Dolphin Talk Podcast Network. The show is hosted by Alex Symes and me, Scott Quiggle.
Hey, hello. We're back. another little bit late this week. It's a Friday that we're recording this. So with that in mind, I guess we'll only spend a couple of minutes highlighting things that have an impact that we saw from the Vikings game, and we'll spend more time talking about the Sunday night football game. So how are you doing today, Alex?
Doing great. I can't wait for Sunday night. It's, I mean, we're finally in prime time, huh?
Yeah. If anyone...
That's nice.
Well, second time. I mean, second time in four games on prime time, if you consider Thursday night to be prime time.
Thursday, that's right. But Thursday football game has been so terrible. I mean, even our game wasn't that good. It's just been bad.
I seem to see a lot of memes lately. I guess it's today's comedy includes memes, and I saw a funny one on Thursday night football too.
Which was?
It said it had a gorgeous girl in a bikini, and it said Sunday football. And then or Sunday night football, and then it had one for Monday night that was, you know, a little bit older, but also very attractive. And then it had Thursday night football, and it was a fat old grandma. So.
Oh God. Yeah, that's what I feel like most of these games are. Yeah. It's like it's like terrible. It's not even football. It's exciting. I mean, this is. I think we finally got our QB back, and I'm looking forward to. To seeing our team getting healthy.
That's it. That's the whole issue. Not the whole issue. That's not even close to the whole issue, but it's a key focus point, major issue. I listened to our last podcast today, just kind of refresh myself on what we talked about in the Triggered episode. And because I wanted it fresh in my mind before we recorded this today.
Sure.
Right. So All that stuff, all the issues around the concussions and the injuries and the quarterbacks and what really seems to be consistent and persistent, douchebaggery against the Dolphins is it's still there, and there's going to be a magnifying glass every time Tua gets touched, probably for the rest of the season, but tonight or Sunday night more than maybe we've ever seen.
But I mean, we're playing the Steelers, and Kenny Pickett had a concussion, practiced all week, and is playing on Sunday.
So how's that fair? How's that equivalent? When Bridgewater didn't have a concussion
and was on concussion protocol
and was not allowed to practice. So yeah, I mean,
this whole thing is, I think we, you know, as the Dolphins, we feel picked on because, you know, like we said last week, I mean, a lot of our problems were self-inflicted, you know. I mean, I'm sure you heard in the podcast. I mean, we reported it wrong on Tua. The whole thing got out of control. Social media world. Okay, it is what it is, and it is terrible. But the NFL seems to not have their act together, they don't have their act together, and we seem to be like the guinea pigs. Yet everybody else goes on normal, and we go through all this crazy. Yeah, we'll be under a
magnifying glass. Let me help you there.
Magnifying glass here, and it will happen. Why? Because we kind of earned it. We kind of put this on ourselves, and I think we have to be big boys, accept responsibility, and keep going forward.
So
I mean, we got our quarterback back.
Yeah, honestly, I'll be there. Sunday night watching this game, biting my lip the whole time, just praying that. You know, Tua doesn't take a hit like that.
We got to protect him. You know what's his name's going to go after him hard, Flores.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, those are all the subjects that we need to talk about today, because this game has so many stories and subtitles and whatever you want to call it, subplots, you know. It's
right.
Like, it's like freaking fantastic, you know. First and foremost, we're meeting a team. Well, I mean, first let's cover, we should cover last week's game quickly.
Sure.
Like you said, and I, you know.
So I got to tell you, I'll let me start with this and just say, I think Skyler could be a good quarterback
in
the NFL.
Me too.
I mean, he had, this is his first start ever, and his injury was freak, you know, hitting your finger on a helmet. It happens, right? But the fact that he had to be taken out of the game, it's broken or cut or whatever it was, yeah, I mean, it was too bad. The kid was really looking forward to it, and, you know, talking about his parents and his first start, and, you know, he came out, and you could see that, you know, he wasn't perfect, but there were all kinds of positive signs.
No, I think he looked really, he passed the ball well. That first drive, I mean, poor guy. Five penalties.
Yeah.
Two drop balls, twice inside the 10-yard line. He ends up not even getting a field goal.
Yeah.
Rough way to start your first real start.
Yeah, what? Okay, so what is in the Dolphins' brains? I mean, players' brain. Why is this happening? Why so many penalties? I mean, the one obvious answer is, you know, when it comes to the offensive line, it's not consistent, right? Because Armstead wasn't in there, and Jackson, who was the person who practiced all offseason, wasn't in there. But, you know, other teams seem to plug and play and be okay. And this leads, I mean, this commentary on the offensive line leads me into my topic. So before I start ranting on that, throw something else in there.
Well, you know, Skyler, by the way, if you look at his passing grades, I'm Pro Football Focus. Mm-hmm. He actually, you know, outplayed Bridgewater, you know, quite a bit. Because Bridgewater had those two interceptions. One was not his fault.
Well, yeah, Waddle had the worst game I've ever seen him play.
Ever seen him play.
Yeah.
But you know, when you
the
when
first
you
pick, you know, again, it makes the argument that we've made since I've known you, right? Interceptions should be subjectively assigned in the statistics column, meaning
the only problem I see with that is what happens when a guy throws the ball that should have been intercepted and the receiver makes such a great play and steals it from the defense. That's the only problem.
That's not an interception. I mean, that's where you draw the line. It either is an interception or it isn't. And when it is, then you'd make one subjective decision. Is this on the receiver or is this on the quarterback? That's it.
Yeah, it's not that hard. It's like in baseball. It's a hit or an error.
Yep.
Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty simple. Yeah, I agree. But Scott, when we look at this game, what I saw predominant is that we dominated the game, except in the most important statistic, obviously the score and the turnovers.
Yeah, kind of 2 weeks in a row. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Three weeks.
In yeah,
the last
really?
3 weeks,
yeah.
We have. In the last 3 weeks, we have, guess how much turnovers, or you'll know the answer.
I do. So
zero.
Yeah. First three.
And seven, yeah. We have given the ball seven times to the opponent.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to win like that. In this game, we had all of my pet things that I love, we did. We had 73 plays to 50. We had time of possession, 35-29 to 24-31. We literally outpassed them, total yards, of 458 to 234 total yards.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I mean, I looked through my notes really quickly, and I see three and out, three and out, three and out, three and out, three and out. I'm like,
yeah.
The defense was playing lights out.
But not getting the turnover. I mean, that
right.
Defense needs to be a difference maker. And that's the – when a team that's suffering like we are with our line, offensive line injuries and our quarterback injuries – you need the defense to do something magical. I'm not saying score a touchdown, but give us a good field position.
Okay, so now my hair's standing up in the back of my neck again. This topic, it's beating a dead horse, but it's time to beat it some more, right? The offensive line. So in the offseason, a couple of moves were made, right? And both of them brought up the quality of the offensive line. So I guess you consider three moves were made, right? One for –
Armstead.
Armstead and one for Williams.
Yes.
And both of those are upgrades. Now, we've joked, seriously joked, I don't know, in the past about Greer's staff's tendency to love often injured players because we draft them and we get them in free agency. And so, you know, Armstead's never, he's probably one of the best or certainly top, you know, three, whatever, tackles in the league. And he's a leader and there's nothing not to like about him, but he's injured every year for the last 3, 4, 5 years, right? And so,
yes,
you know, that's the problem. You know, you're going to miss him for a couple of games. We know we had the worst offensive line in the league last year. And then we did a couple things in free agency, and then that was it, right? So Eichenberg has been a nightmare this year. Now, this last game, his grades were a little higher, which is, I mean, you have to hope that it's a step in the right direction. But, I mean,
his run blocking was excellent. He rated it at 76.1, and Mr. Connor at 64, Tanner Connor.
Yep.
I like him. You know, I like that he dropped a pass, but I like that tight end. You think the kid has a future.
He's got to catch the ball. I've seen him drop more than one pass that needed to be caught.
And Little, he'll correct that. Little had a 63 blocking.
For a run. But he had the lowest pass blocking score I've ever seen in my lifetime.
1.5?
Yes.
Classic.
Yes. I mean, that's a nightmare.
And you know who really sucked at run blocking, which is the worst guy on our team? Ingold. Our fullback, Alec Ingold, he had 43 in his run block.
And it's his job to run block.
I mean, he's only there for that.
Yeah, that's why you have a fullback. Yeah.
Once in a full moon when you have that sneaky handed off to him for the 1 yard.
Right, that I formation pounded up the middle, brute strength.
But
thing.
The run blocking, it was Hunter Long who played. And then got a 31. You know,
Mike Gesicki part two. When it comes to blocking, anyways, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's just not very good. But okay, that's where we were. I mean, this whole game was.
So let me finish this. I don't know, critical analysis, whatever you want to call it. You know, obviously Jackson has been a terrible draft pick, but he still won the job and then got hurt, and so Little, who we had hoped would step up, has been terrible.
Yeah.
Right? So, lack of depth. Now, last time we had a discussion, at least with our group of old guys, we were talking about that we had something like, at the beginning of the season, we had something like $16.9 million left on the cap.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We've got corners and offensive line woes, especially, I mean, you know, you lose one of those top tier guys on the line and it just goes right back to being one of the worst lines in the NFL. So like Armstead. So why, if you're Chris Greer, if you're a GM of the Dolphins, not, you don't have to be him or VP of personnel or any of that, those roles, aren't you doing something if you can with available free agents and or trades? Now, Taylor Moten just got dangled out there. The Panthers are having a fire sale on their players.
They're smart as hell. Yeah.
Right?
They are.
They're gathering draft picks.
They're going to end up with a great quarterback.
Right. They fired their coach. They're gathering draft picks. They're going to rebuild. Then they're going to go into next year's draft with a pocket full of draft picks in order to, you know, begin this rebuild process. So with our line woes, are we talking to them? And if we aren't talking to them, why not? I mean, it seems like it would be who watches the watcher? I mean, if he's not doing his job, what's he doing?
We just had
our corners are dropping like flies. Right.
We had this discussion before we went on the air.
Yeah.
Greer is your, you know, your average
Joe Hayden.
GM.
Yeah. Joe Hayden, who's
Hayden is out there.
Out there, and Drew Rosenhaus is his agent, who's practically the agent for Miami football players all throughout history since he became an agent.
Yeah.
Are we talking to him?
A local kid from Miami that's a UM graduate and has every single player in Miami, it seems like, for the Dolphins. Yeah.
Well, we're, you know, those are the two positions we're desperate at. Corners because of injury, and offensive line because our offensive line still sucks. Even though
it's improved.
It's better than it was, but all three of our core QB 1, 2, and 3 injured in the first six games.
Two by our offensive line, I would say.
Yeah.
But
Skyler was
Weird, man. I mean, Greer's going to be middle of the road forever. And when we had this brief discussion about what we're going to discuss, we were talking about Greer, and again, I could say, you know, if he was a good GM, we would have won one damn playoff game, or in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
And he's ever since he's been affiliated with us, we haven't won
too many first round draft pick busts.
No, and how many?
And the complete inability to build an effective offensive line. So, I mean, one of our hopes. Oh, here's the third thing. I said there were two things that we did, and maybe a third. Right. The third thing was the new offensive line coach. That if the players that we had actually had more talent, and it just wasn't showing it because of lack of experience coaching at the position, then maybe that would start to show, you know. But
Greer's got Hunt as probably the only good offensive lineman that's currently on our team that he's drafted, and everybody else has been terrible. Especially when he moves up in a draft like he's had with Eichenberg, like he did with Sonny.
Every draft pick that we've moved up for.
Every time he moves up, yes. Forget it, man.
It doesn't matter what position. It's a fail.
It's like the kiss of death from Mr. Greer. Yep. You know, he's going to move up to grab you. That's it. Your career's short. You know. But look, I'm excited because, we've gone through our typical Dolphin drama BS.
Yep.
It's over. I think it's all behind us now. Tua's playing. We hope he can stay upright. Even though I would tell you the hits that these guys were taking, I don't know if Tua would have made it through a game. You know, I mean, they were just killing him.
Yeah.
But we are getting healthier for this game. Looks like Armstead's going to be able to play. We don't know about Jackson. That doesn't look too promising. But the line will be better. Maybe we can have someone helping with the right tackle, and but this game, I can't wait for this game. I can't wait for all the stories that are coming out of this. I mean, I'm going to quote Tua. This is exciting. Tua says, "I think it'll be cool being able to go up against the guys that he's coaching on that side." That's Tua. I know he knows personnel really well from being here with us, but I think we're all excited to go up against their defense. In other words, he wants to kick Flores' ass.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I get out of it.
Yes. Tua is read between the lines.
This is it, baby. Tua's saying, "I can't wait to play you, buddy. We're all excited to play you because you're such a dip the way." And Tua was always cool enough not to say anything.
Mm-hmm. And he still did.
To his credit.
Yeah. He still did. You have to read between the lines.
But you have to read between the line. You know. It's just awesome. And so everybody is chiming in with this, you know. I mean, McDaniel, you know, defenses have various things against their offense with Tua at the helm. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Talking about the themes about what people are going to run against Tua, what are they going to do against him. This is great. I mean, we have the Tua, so we have the Flores coming back home after all his, the way he departed. Again, the Dolphins having fault in it.
You know, I have watched two... maybe one or two Steelers games this year. And I can't remember whether they're a blitzing defense or not. Now, this is my brain. If I spend the whole game watching them and I can't remember that, that's my problem. But
They do.
Yeah. But honestly, I would be blitzing Tua all the time.
But they've been having injuries. Minka is coming back for this game. So that's another great story.
Yes.
Because
former Dolphin, on the same team with Flores, who's the coach he couldn't deal with, right?
Yeah, the coach that couldn't handle him now and chipped him off for a draft pick that turned out to be Jackson. And here we go. We're also celebrating the perfect season.
Yes. And I heard Larry Zonka
You heard Larry Sanka. That's awesome. But, you know, talk about Sanka. The Pittsburgh Steelers Dolphin history is a rich history that I remember as a young man watching the Dolphins playing the Steelers in a critical playoff game right before the Super Bowl. And that was the game where Greasy replaced at halftime Earl Morrill. And that's the game that Franco Harris on a 4th-and-1 was meant, was tackled by Dick Anderson.
Yes.
And it was just wonderful. I mean, that whole game, and we were undefeated and we were on the road because it used to be fixed, pre-established where the games would be. And instead of giving the team with the best record the home advantage that they deserve.
Yes.
So we were on the road against Pittsburgh. And now here we are playing the Steelers, celebrating the perfect season. And Fitzpatrick, and I don't know if I'm right on this, but isn't Stephen Ross suspension up this week?
Yes. I saw somebody in the humorous side of Twitter say, what are you more excited about, Tua's return or Ross's return?
I mean, think about all these things. Ross is coming back from being suspended for something Flores said. Guess who's coming to town? Flores.
Yes.
We're talking about a perfect season who occurred because of a great game against who? Against Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Fitzpatrick coming back home. Tua coming off of his concussion situation, which was, we all were petrified to see the young man like that.
Yes.
And then having him happy, and I'm on the plane, and then, you know, everything that transpired. And then we're playing against a Pittsburgh Steelers team who has a quarterback who just got a concussion. I mean, this whole thing, you can't get any more, subplots in a story than this. This is fantastic.
It does. It kind of builds up like a complex novel or a movie or, you know. All these storylines, and then bam, two teams crash together.
And then Flores going up against, in a way, against the coach who replaced him.
Right.
It doesn't end.
Yes.
It doesn't end. You know, it would have been cool if we could say Jackson is playing the guy that we got the pick for trading Minka, but of course we can't say that.
Right. Right.
But it's going to be a super exciting game. I mean, super exciting, you know. And we'll get to see. I think the Dolphins, I think if there's ever a game that Tua wants to stick it to somebody, it will be this game.
Yes. Yep. Hopefully he's not gripping. Instead, he's smooth and laser focused. And, when a player grips, I mean, the expression comes from you grip the ball too tightly and you throw it into the ground because it's because of nerves, right? And because you want it so bad that you're gripping. So hopefully he doesn't do that. Hopefully he's just like finds his laser focus and just spreads that ball all over the place. And Waddle's got his head on straight and he's not dropping balls or tipping them to the defense. And Tyreek is just showing everyone why he's the best wide receiver, just open from motions all over the field. And we get to see the offense again. Because it feels like we didn't get to see the offense the last, you know. The other thing is that, man, that coaching staff has to, I don't know, make everyone do some kind of mental penalty thing this week to help create their focus. Stop with the penalties. It was both sides of the ball. It was the offensive line. It was, you know, defensive penalties everywhere. I remember getting so mad watching that game, thinking, well, the refs are just throwing the flag against us all the time. It's not fair. But then they would show it.
They were all good calls.
And every call was good. I didn't need to hear the announcer defending them. I could see it with my own two eyes. I'm like, damn, that is
They weren't even questionable. You could say, well, you know, maybe.
Yeah, I wanted to be mad about it, but I couldn't
maybe
be.
Maybe he wasn't downfield, really, you know, on that play. Oh, yeah, well, yeah, he was. Okay. I saw so much of, you know, and that goes down to coaching, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, this was not
the discipline that comes McDaniel from coaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't McDaniel's brightest moment. But look, we played the Vikings, who have the worst passing defense. Them and the Titans are like fighting every day to see who can give up more yardage. Yeah. And we did pass for almost 400 yards, by the way.
We just kept shooting ourselves in the foot.
Keep shooting. But you know where the Steelers rank?
28th. Yeah, I looked it up.
Okay, good. And we are middle of the pack, you know? I mean, we're we're not.
Yeah, I know. That's it's hard to believe that the Steelers' pass defense is 28th, but I mean they lost their all world pass rusher.
We're 14th,
right? He's out for the season.
Oh
and,
yeah. Well, he's not out for the season. I think he's coming back.
He is?
I thought
he was like a torn pact and that he was done.
Oh, well, okay. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
But when you look at rushing defense, you know, are we going to be able to pass the ball on him or what are we going to be able to do? I don't know, you know.
Well, isn't it our job to predict somewhat? Our job, quote unquote, yeah.
Yeah, well, here's what I do see. Okay.
Provide value to our listeners, Alex.
By the way, the rushing, they're 28th in the NFL.
Yeah, their offense is horrible, dude. That's why
I'm saying their defense, their rushing defense is 28th in the NFL.
Yeah. Are we going to see Edmonds come back or is he just done? Are we just Mozart?
I love Edmund and I think his skill sets are special. I think he's there's something wrong with him mentally or something. There's something not there with the way he has performed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, Edmund has been a total disappointment.
Because I love seeing Mostert do what he does, right? But I never expected him to get the bulk of the carries on this team. Obviously, with his injury history, I wouldn't want to give him the bulk of carries on this team just for, you know, durability reasons.
I think we are going to beat the Steelers. Is it going to be a beatdown? Possibly. I really think Tua and I think the troops, if anybody has an ounce of pride, we're talking about Edmund a little bit. Edmund looks like a beaten guy. He's dropping passes like crazy. He's not running well. There's something wrong with Edmonds. It's not the guy that I thought we were going to get.
Yeah.
You know, I thought we were going to get like that kid Enos running yesterday and really a guy that runs hard like that.
Mm-hmm.
We're not getting that. We're getting it from Mostert, but not much from Edmonds. I think we're going to beat the Steelers. I think we're going to handle them. I really believe in the intangible in this game. And the tangible is the Steelers suck.
Their offense is terrible. We should hold them to a couple field goals, to be honest with you. It'll be a failure if our defense gives up any more than a couple field goals.
They scored 20 points on Tampa, which Tampa's a good team. I think Tampa took them very – I believe Tampa took them lightly, and I believe Tampa was like, whatever. Mm-hmm. But they held Tampa to, like, whatever, you know, 18 points, which was really good. Miami should score in the 30s.
Yes.
They should score in the 30s.
I agree.
I don't see who the hell is going to keep Hill, who's going to cover Hill.
Right.
Even with Minka back, congratulations that you're back, but you were there when you guys sucked too. I'm still talking to the Steelers.
Yep.
And without pressuring Tua, they're going to have a tough time. They start blitzing Tua, we have the weapons to really destroy them.
I agree.
I love it. I think overall this team should come out with a handy victory.
I think our defensive line, again, will dictate the pace of the game and what their offense is able to do or not do. And I think we're going to get after them, whether it's by increasing the amount of blitzing that we do. I mean, get Brandon Jones back in there. We said it earlier. He's the best blitzing safety in the league maybe and kind of haven't seen a whole lot of that. But you know, Ingram and Jones, and you know, keep X out of the backfield. I don't want to see him blitzing, but Ogba and Phillips and you know, the pressure that we were getting up the middle the last game against the Vikings was impressive. Wilkins was pushing in the pile. Sealer was pushing the pile. Even our Alabama DT that kind of disappeared for a while was back in there and pushing people back.
No, I can't find the record. We'll skip that whole comment. I'm trying to find it right here. Damn it. It says right here, the Jaguar. Where was it? It's a Dolphin article. Why are they talking?
Man, you're making a lot of edits for me today.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be hard. Sorry. Okay. Keep going. Yeah, you were saying?
So I think the defensive line is going to get the pressure that we need on a rookie quarterback who's going to feel it, you know, coming off the injury, getting hit, making mistakes. And we just need that that shark, that blood in the water, the play from Holland and X that we expected this season to take shape against the Steelers and maybe get a defensive touchdown, certainly give us the ball back, you know, in Steelers territory so that it's a easy punch for Tua and company.
And I'd like to see some special teams becoming special again. I mean, our field goal kicker has missed. Sanders has missed 3 field goals.
Yeah, we mentioned it the last podcast. He's.
He's just not the same. He missed that big field goal against the Jets. And you know, a 50-yard
kind of
the
swing
today.
Point in the game. Yep.
Yeah, and like we said, we were in that game right until the end. Like we were with Minnesota. We've been in these games. We're not getting blown out.
We're not finishing.
Not making the plays.
Yep.
We're not making the plays to make the difference. And that usually comes on special teams, on defense. Our offense has not been stellar, but we haven't had our quarterback. And everybody knows today, can we stop the silliness about Bridgewater being better than Tua and the rookie Thompson's going to... Tua's the best quarterback we have.
Yes. It's not close. Yep.
Not close. Now, is he durable or whatever? Yeah, okay, we have issues there. But I think if we protect him, which is a big if, Tua's going to tear up the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we're going to be able to run and pass on them.
Bye.
So my opinion, the game should be, we should win by double digits.
And we should be there. We told everyone that we were going to this game.
We wanted to be there.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I think we all had so many circumstances, personal in our lives.
Yep.
Things that were up that made it very difficult to keep that promise that we made. But, hey, we still got the Niners. And we have to touch upon it quickly. The Niners trading for
McCaffrey. Yes. If they can get McCaffrey, why can't we go get Moton?
I mean,
when we have money and space in the cap.
We have money and space
and
everything
a desperate else. Need for a tackle.
But, you know, there are certain teams that we have their draft picks. We have the third round of New England.
Mm-hmm.
We have the fifth round, I think, for the Bears or something like that when we traded Grant.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how the hell that was a good. Grant's good at that.
He's good at trading, really getting value out of it. Yes.
Yeah, getting value because I don't know
that's his strength. We've said that before. That's his superpower.
I might be wrong on that, but I think it was a fifth rounder.
I don't remember,
but
I'll take your word for it.
I was amazed when he did it. So I wouldn't be amazed with a seventh rounder. But that's pretty – well, maybe we should be amazed with a seventh rounder. And then also, of course, we have the San Francisco's.
Right.
First
that's
and
our
second
first.
Round.
Yeah.
First and second.
We don't have our own first.
We don't have our own first.
Yeah.
But that trade wasn't a great thing because now San Francisco – has a hell of a running back, and maybe their record is 3-3. It might push them over the edge.
Yeah. If McCaffrey's healthy and stays healthy, it's going to make a difference there.
Well,
they're going to win more games.
An if with any player, right?
True. That's the caveat for everyone. That's this Sunday and going forward with Tua. So, Armstead at left tackle, and blah blah blah. On we go.
But how exciting it is that we have Tua back at the this type of game. Is what
it's
defines
perfect.
A person's.
Yes.
This is defining a person's
the,
career.
The opposite would be depressing if Tua was not playing in this game.
It would be so depressing.
So.
And I'm glad
with
that
message,
coming back.
You know, all Dolphins fans should be excited for this.
And I hope we have some reporter that has the cojones to ask Minka, how is it working with Flores? You know, I mean, I would love to. I hate to say it, but if I'm a reporter, I'm asking those questions.
Yeah.
I want to know.
And it depends, you know, how good the kid is at being political or not. I mean, most people are smart enough to just go, it's fine. And not really
we
answer.
We have a great relationship.
Yeah.
Coach Flores and I love each other.
Yeah.
We
go to church together on Sundays and.
Yeah.
And our families who do picnics. Yeah.
We're celebrating. We touched upon it earlier. We're celebrating our perfect season. The only time it's ever been done. It could never be duplicated.
The funnier question would be, how's your mom's relationship with Flores?
Yeah. That would be great. But you know, we're celebrating it today. So that what I was going to get at is, are we going to have all of our ghosts of the Orange Bowl showing up, the Sanka, you know, everybody?
Wouldn't it be awesome to have that feeling like 1985 when all the 72 Dolphins were standing behind?
That's what I was thinking.
You know, we beat Chicago. Who was?
This is a pivotal game. Don't get me wrong. This is a
for our season.
Game.
Absolutely.
This is it. If we tank on this game, it's it could be the
we won't be in the playoffs if we tank in this game.
Yeah, no, but it's our fourth straight loss. It's just you know, it's just looking bad. If we play,
if we win,
we're playing a rookie.
Yeah, we turn the corner. Yes,
okay?
It's our opportunity to get healthy with confidence and mentality as well.
And Scotty, and we're playing a rookie quarterback. Like I said, if he gets hurt, we got Trubisky. I mean, come on, man. There's nothing. They got nothing. And Harris does not look like he's been healthy. That whole team, they got good receivers. That I give them. But I don't see how the hell, you know, we shouldn't be able to stop them, get turnovers. And we should be able to get a couple of turnovers against this rookie. We should.
Yeah.
We should confuse him into a couple of turnovers.
Yes.
And I know that Flores is obviously telling them what they think, but that's when new wrinkles need to be put in.
Yes, stuff that wasn't part of the Flores plan to begin with,
exactly.
So he doesn't immediately recognize it.
That's what we need to do.
Yes,
that's the magic that these guys need to put together. So it's super exciting, man. I think this is. I have not been more stoked about a game, and we should have been there. Could have, but. You know, it's not, but maybe we should watch it together. Maybe that's the game plan.
Well, we'll talk about that offline.
We'll talk about it off the air. But, buddy, am I excited? I can't wait for this game. To me, it's going to be one of the greatest games the pivotal game of the season. That's it, bottom line.
That's where we're
pivotal
at.
Pivotal game of the season. That it's going to turn our season around, or we're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, well, turn around. Let's go with that.
Turn around is what I predict.
Yep, so. Me too.
Awesome, man.
All right, man. 3, 2, 1. Go Dolphins.
Dolphins.
The Two Old Dolphins podcast is proud to be a member of the Dolphins Talk Podcast Network. In addition to our website at twooldolfans.com, iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play, we can also be found at dolphinstalk.com. We have a sponsor we'd like to thank, Sawbox Music Company, makers of eclectic stringed instruments, boutique tube amplifiers, and custom portable music devices. Check them out at sawboxguitars.com. That's sawboxguitars.com. Or find them on Facebook. You can reach out to us through our website and email address that's there, or find us on Twitter where we're very active. We have an Instagram account that we post to occasionally, and a Facebook page. Our podcast contains the music of two bands. We'd like to thank the original Tartanic drum and bagpipe champions. You can find their music and more at tartanic.net. A huge shout out to Rick DeJesus and the boys of Adelita's Way. Can't thank them enough for allowing us to use their kick-ass rock in our podcast. You can find them everywhere, Amazon, Apple, Facebook, Spotify. And make sure to catch them when they're touring because they are the best.
Thank you for listening to Two Old Dolphins. Join us next week for more news, analysis, and old guy stories. Good night.
Go Dolphins!
I don't wanna have to do this again.